Good morning, everyone, and welcome to this live service this morning. Just two or three intimations. First of all, just thank you to the technical team this morning, and Grant Cumming and John Third helping us with this live stream and the podcast. And then our two singers this morning, Ross Cumming and David Welsh, helping us with the hymns this morning. From the Church of Scotland, we have an initiative, actually two initiatives. The one is tonight at 7 p.m. There's a call for prayer meeting, just where you are in your home, light a candle, and then we pray for the situation we are currently facing. And then another initiative is every day at 12 o'clock, you can set your alarm, and then when your alarm goes off, we pray together as a nation and as a gathered believers in Jesus Christ. So let's do that if that's one a good thing we can do together, praying together. That's basically the intimations I have for Rosemary's funeral. I know that the announcement in the paper said that everyone's friends are welcome. But we know things changed, and it's only the close family that will be welcomed or will be invited to the funeral on Monday. Another celebration and commemoration of Rosemary's life will be done at a later stage. Friends, as an introit to this morning's service, we're going to sing from CH4, hymn 197, as we are gathered, and we sing it twice.
As we are gathered, Jesus is here, one with each other. Jesus is here, joined by the Spirit, washed in the blood, part of the body, the Church of God. As we are gathered, Jesus is here, one with each other, Jesus is here. As we are gathered, Jesus is here, one with each other, Jesus is here, joined by the Spirit, washed in the blood, part of the body, the Church of God. As we are gathered, Jesus is here, one with each other, Jesus is here.
Today is also Mothering Sunday, and I think of the wonderful influence my mother had and my grandmother had on my life. And therefore, this prayer as an opening prayer and a call to worship is also saying thanks to God for all the women and loved ones in our lives. Please join me. It was Jesus who said, "Come." To all mothers and to all children, he said, "Come." To the motherless and the childless, he said, "Come." To all who long to be mothered, he said, "Come. Come unto me, all you labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble of heart, and you will find rest for your souls." Dear God, you are our Savior, you are our Shepherd, you care for us. And therefore we are gathered to praise you this morning, although in our homes, maybe with family, maybe alone. Therefore, we ask you to encourage us and that we may seek your will for our lives, for our church, and for our world. Open our eyes this morning to the traffic between heaven and earth and to the wonder of your call to live in your light, Jesus Christ. We thank you that you gave the gifts of loved ones, of mothers, of grands, of sisters, of friends in our lives. Bless us this morning and bless us throughout our lives. We pray this in your name as Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. I greet you this morning in the name of our Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Peace and mercy be unto you in abundance. Let's greet the Lord back with our first praise hymn, which says, "Here I am, Lord. This is me, Lord." It's from CH4, number 251. Let us pray together. Loving God, thank you for mothers and children, and thank you for the joy of life and family. And this morning we pray, be with those who are grieving because they have no mother. Be close to those who are struggling because they have no children. Be near to those who are sad because they are far apart from those they love. Let your love be present in every home this morning, and help your church to have eyes to see and ears to hear the need of all who come. Jesus, like a mother, you gather your people. You are gentle with us. You are caring like a mother cares for her children. Despair turns to hope through your sweet goodness, through your gentleness. We find comfort in times of fear. Yes, even now in Lent, your warmth gives life to the dead, knowing that there's life, eternal life. Your touch makes sinners righteous. Lord, in your mercy, heal us. In your love and tenderness, remake us. And in your compassion, bring grace and forgiveness. For the beauty of heaven, may your love prepare us. Hear us when we pray together. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever. Amen. Our scripture reading this morning is from Proverbs chapter 4. I'm not going to read the whole of the chapter. I'm going to read from Proverbs 4, chapter 1, verses 1 to 6, and then pick up from verse 20 again. The heading says, "Get wisdom at any cost." Listen, my sons, or to the daughters as well, to a father's instruction. Pay attention and gain understanding. I give you sound learning, so do not forsake my teaching. For I too was a son to my father, still tender and cherished by my mother. Then he taught me, and he said to me, "Take hold of my words with all your heart. Keep my commands, and you will live. Get wisdom, get understanding. Do not forget my words or turn away from them. Do not forsake wisdom, and she will protect you. Love her, and she will watch over you. My son, my daughter, pay attention to what I say. Turn your ear to my words. Do not let them out of your sight. Keep them within your heart, for they are life to those who find them, and health to those who keep them to their body. Above all else, guard your heart, for everything you do flows from it. Keep your mouth free of perversity. Keep corrupt talk far from your lips. Let your eyes look straight ahead. Fix your gaze directly before you. Give careful thought to the path for your feet, and be steadfast in all your ways. Do not turn to the right or to the left. Keep your foot from evil." To God be the glory for his word. As I said, today is Mothering Sunday, and I remember we as a family, over weekends when we would drive to the farm, sit in the pickup, it was a double cab, we call it, and then we will share stories and experiences from the week past. And often stories stay in one's memory, and unexpectedly it once again becomes meaningful in certain situations in life. And I recently read a story which you might know, while speaking to friends, dear friends, discussing our fears and the situation with the coronavirus currently being isolated. I said, "It's bad. I can't go out to South Africa to my brother's wedding." And we all face different situations. But yes, back to the story. There are so many versions of it, and no one quite sure what the actual origin is of it. But here's one version that adheres to the gist of the story. It's said that King Solomon had a counselor who was very full of himself. Now, Solomon wanted to teach him a little humility, and then he sent him to go and find a specific ring. Now, this ring should help any person that would be sad to become happy, or a person who is extremely happy just calm down a bit and be less happy in life. The counselor returned but couldn't find such a ring. And then King Solomon himself apparently went to a jeweler and had a ring made with the following inscription. And it said, "This too will pass." Now, the Hebrew inscription would be something like "Cham ze ya'avor," and it would read, "Also this is going to pass. The king apparently wore this ring daily, and each time when he felt very sad, he would look at the ring and it would change his mood, knowing that also this will pass. In situations where he felt very excited and overwhelmed, he would again look at the ring and it would make him calm and more appreciative of things around him. Now, this story tells me something of godly wisdom. Godly wisdom that we also find in Proverbs chapter 4. And wisdom, as referred to in the Bible, we know is lived wisdom. It's wisdom received from knowing God and living in a relationship with God. A relationship, as the text explains, like a father or a mother caring and guiding for their children. Godly wisdom is not found through a quick fix or some article I read online. It's a lived through life experience of years and years, a journey with God. Now, learning his ways through my own ups and downs and knowing, yes, he is there for me. It tells me that when we face situations like we currently do, life endangering and sometimes life threatening, there are godly, lifelong, lived wisdom we can apply to this situation. Godly wisdom tells me that we are equally created by God and loved by God. We are all on the same planet. And therefore, I think in terms of godly wisdom, it tells me if we work together, if we see each other as godly created, this coronavirus could be effectively fought. Now, unfortunately, we also know that we will have casualties, already we do. But in the meantime, the question is, how do I live and how do I focus as a Christian? Now, I've gained this next formula from another friend of mine. He said there's a formula you can apply in your life called FPP. And it's very easy. The first letter, F, reminds us to focus. To focus on what our current situation is and what it's like. But the things we focus on are the things we attach meaning to in life. And that determines our emotions and how we think of where we are and what we should do. Instead of only focusing on the next infected person or case or casualty, it's also important to focus on other things, like there are much larger numbers of people who already recovered from this infection throughout the world. Also to focus what you can do and what you can control now in your life. When your mind goes astray, this is just a tip. Sometimes I struggle to focus in life. I just use the next exercise, telling myself, all right, count backwards from 5 to 1. And I see the numbers in my head, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Focus. And you tell yourself to focus, and I promise your mind gets to the thing you need to do. The moment you do it and you say focus, get up and do what you should do. Focus also means that you don't have to overload your brain with all the messages that comes through on your phone. You don't need to attend to everything all the time, the media on the television, because in the end, it breaks down one's resilience. Proverbs 4 verse 23 tells me, above all else, guard your heart, for everything you do flows from it. The theological commentaries explained very clearly by saying, this does not mean that you should avoid everything around you, but you should take care of what is allowed into your thoughts and emotions, because that will determine your life and your actions. The Old Testament folk and the psychology differs from our popular allocation of certain faculties to body organs. We use, in these days, we use our head thinking, that is thought, and heart, that is emotions. But in the old world, the biblical world, your heart was the totality of your being. It defined your existence, it defined your will, and defined your moral. And therefore, Proverbs 4, verse 23 tells us, oh, that is the fountain. Guard your heart, because everything, your actions, your life, flows from it. It reminds me, I think, of a Hebrew lecturer I had at university. The very first class we walked in, his name was also Ati. He said to us, listen, folk, you will hear many, many different views and perspectives in life as you become a minister or as part of your training to become a minister. But then he had Proverbs 4, verse 23, and said, but guard your heart and guard your thoughts. There should be a filter in what we allow inside. And therefore we ask God for his wisdom and his protection. It brings me to the second letter of this formula, FPP, and it's having perspective. Sometimes when I'm too close to something, I don't have good perspective. But the moment I step away, I see a bigger picture. I see something else. And initially, when the restrictions came in and said, well, we are only confined to about 100 people, I thought, how would we gather? How can we do this? Can we have separate groups, etc., etc.? Until I took a step back and realized 100 is not the target. The target is endangering zero lives. It might be from making promises that certain countries is in a mess now. When I first got this perspective, I was able to gain clarity and make appropriate decisions of my own life and interacting with people. So take a step back, hear the opinion of others, but ask yourself, is this wise? Is this how God will want me to act? Someone said to me, well, initially they felt bad that we won't gather and physical meetings. And then they realized, but this is also a time for a sabbatical, a time to discover more about God, to pray more for one another. And in particular, I gain perspective by remembering that this, even if it's not a short-term thing, it shouldn't cause panic to me. Remember at a time in the life of Paul, he also faced endangered times, threatening times in his life. And then he wrote to the Philippians in Philippians 4, verse 13, saying, I can do all this through Jesus Christ, who gives me strength. And Paul, as I said, also had bad times. He had good times. But remember, God had helped not only Paul, but me and everyone in this home now there. God helped us through difficult times in the past. When I think of the Old Testament, sometimes it helps me to realize we are sometimes very forgetful of what God got us through in life. And again, God is not absent. God is with us. The last letter of the formula, FPP, is obviously the P. It says, be proactive. Now, a friend advised me saying, Aki, you must always have a plan in life. No matter what, you must always have a plan. Even if it sounds like a stupid plan, just ask God to help you with your plan. And in our culture, we have an expression saying, and this is in my direct language, a boer maak 'n plan, saying a farmer makes a plan. So yes, through prayer and trusting God for guidance and wisdom, I want to encourage you, make a plan. Something that helps you to get direction. Ask yourself, and what next? Then do it. Then ask yourself the same question, and what next? And do it again. And this is how you start acting more proactively in the direction of what might not just take a month, but maybe much, much longer. And also, this is going to pass. And meanwhile, we live with focus, with perspective, and being proactive. Even in your home, even if it asks of you to have a different plan, a different focus, remember we are in the presence of God, the loving God, the caring God, the guiding God with his wisdom through the Holy Spirit. And with this knowledge, I hear the words of Romans 8 echoing, where Paul said, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him, Jesus, who loved us. For I am convinced that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. The peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your heart and your minds in Jesus Christ. Amen. Let us pray. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, thank you for your word. Thank you for your word through ages, through generations, conveying wisdom. Wisdom of love, guiding us, caring for us. And therefore, Holy Spirit, thank you for being with us, comforting us and advocating for us. Help us to keep our focus on you, on your will and your ways, even if our situation changes. To have a good perspective of things and to live proactively in this new challenging situation. Lord, we thank you for all the times you have seen us through difficult periods in our lives. And we confess you are the God through all ages and time, the one who was, who is, and who will be. Thank you that you are also taking care of us now. We are praying for the sick and those who are suffering, for all the nursing homes, the hospices of our country and throughout the world. We think and we pray for those who are housebound and in self-isolation. Keep them safe, Lord. Keep them sane and make your peace be over them. Comfort and heal all those who suffer in body, in mind or spirit. Give them courage and hope in their troubles. And bring them joy of your salvation, Christ Jesus. We pray for medical staff and priority carers. We pray for people working in shops, in businesses, assisting and helping so many people. Lord, it is also here we pray that you will guide them, but guard them. I've heard many stories this week of people suffering emotionally, working behind cash registers in different situations. Guard them from harm, physically, spiritually, and emotionally. Lord, these people are really facing tough times and challenges in so many ways. Strengthen them, Jesus. We pray for families and people who face the loss of income and devastating situations, not knowing what will happen to them in the near future, worried and stunned. But you are Lord over all creation. Every piece of ground, every drop of water, air in the sky, and even every coin in a wallet belongs to you. It is times like these, Lord, when we look to you and ask, we beg you, please give and bring outcome. We pray for our government and other governments. Give them wisdom, your wisdom. Give them guidance to do what you know is best for our situation and various situations all around the globe. We ask of you, Lord of Lords, King of Kings, to not let evil or any virus overcome our being, our societies, but that you will once again reign as mighty God, even over this situation and a small virus. We pray for our congregations, our towns, our villages. May people anew find you again in their longing for outcome and answers, for direction and a source for life. May they and us rediscover you as the living God, the God of grace and mercy. As fellow believers, although we are in our homes, we ask your guidance to pray for each other, to help each other as we can, to use this time as a sabbatical where we ourselves discover more of you and of our fellow believers. We pray for our loved ones and family and friends. Yes, we are worried about them, but luckily, Lord, you are even more worried about them than us, because they are your loved ones too. Therefore, we ask of you, take care of them. Protect them and us. Protect us as your loved ones with your blood, Jesus Christ. We thank you once again for your eternal love and offering, giving us life everlasting. Lord, in your mercy, hear and accept our prayers. We pray this in your name as Father, as Son, as Holy Spirit. Amen. Our closing hymn is the version of "The Lord is My Shepherd" by Stuart Townend, and may we sing this as a prayer that God will really guide us as the Good Shepherd.
It's just wonderful.
Thank you, Ross. Thank you, David. His goodness will lead us home. The Lord will set out before you to prepare the way ahead. The Lord will be at your back to shelter you from the onslaughts of evil. It reminds me of Romans 8 again. The Lord will be beside you to enfold you in his loving arms. And the Lord will be beneath you to pick you up the day when you might stumble or fall. And the Lord will be above you to bless you. May our Lord, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit be with you now and forevermore. And we can sing the threefold Amen together.
Well done.
Nice. Well done.